This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Yeah, I know you like it loud.
Turn it up.
I know. Sorry.
Good evening, Miami Dolphin football fans. You are listening to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. It is I, James Radio, with my co-host, Rob Cast, here to ring in March Madness. Just kidding. We're talking about the Dolphins here.
But it's still March Madness.
I guess. Did you fill out a bracket?
I did not.
No?
I haven't. I didn't last year, and I paid so little attention that it's not fun anymore.
I filled one out for work.
Because I used to pay attention. Now I'm just picking colors.
Yeah, I totally used to pay attention.
Back in the day, I was like, I love the Big East, and I've rooted for UConn like kind of before they hit the national scene because I'm old.
Yeah,
we'll get to that. But
right.
Through friends, I had friends like people that got me into college football, college basketball were from
it was
the Connecticut
big in the Northeast.
Area.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
all those teams.
So I love all of that.
Basically, Georgetown. Syracuse.
I had St. John's. My high school friends. I had one was at Villanova. One was at Georgetown. One was in Syracuse. And I'm at a little rinky dink SUNY school, but my friends there are from the Connecticut area and grew up as UConn fans. So all of a sudden, UConn starts blowing up, and all these big name schools that my friends are at are getting beat by this school no one ever heard of. So I followed. So that got me into it, and then the great tournaments and all that, and loved it. And now I go, they're not even in the Big East. I don't even know who's who. It's like I'm lost. I'm out of it. I'm out.
The extent of the college basketball that I watched this year was, I think, that 15-second gif of Zion Wilson blowing through his shoe.
Oh, jeez.
Did you see that?
No, I know. I mean, was that when he got hurt or when he...
Yes.
Yeah,
when his foot came right through his Nike.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, that's the extent of the college basketball. But I still fill out a bracket for work, so I assumed that meant that Duke wasn't any good because this guy doesn't even know how to wear shoes, apparently. So they're not good, right?
That guy's pretty good.
Oh, really? Oh, man. I don't think I'm going to do very well then. All right. So last week we were
sitting here on this podcast saying the rumors that
there was no way Ryan Tannehill was going to be traded. And the very next day,
he gets traded.
They were able to trade him. They didn't really.
They sold him.
They paid someone to take him. They did get a fourth round pick next year. They had to give up a higher draft pick this year. They got a lower draft pick as compensation. So they gave up their sixth to get the seventh round pick from the Titans. And the Titans took Ryan Tannehill, and the Dolphins are paying $5 million of his whatever. I think he signed for $7.5 million for them to play this year. So they're paying $5 million of that. And they got a fourth round draft pick next year as the compensation for that. So, yay.
So when we said no one was trading for him, that was with that contract, right? We said no one's trading for that contract. So
he was cut. I mean, essentially he was cut and he got to choose where he went, and the Dolphins got a draft pick for it.
True. So I will say this. One, thank you, Ryan Tannehill. Signing the deal,
right?
Taking that, allowing that to happen, allowing us to get a pick. And, for his sake, Can you think of a better landing spot? A better team that has a questionable quarterback who's injured all the time. I mean, that team was going with Matt Castle and would win a couple of games. Would win like, would go 500 with Matt Castle, like for four games. Go 2-2 when Mariota was hurt. If there's a non-zero chance he's starting for them in the playoffs next year. It's not a high percentage, sure. But it's a non-zero chance that Ryan Tannehill is playing
plays
in the playoffs.
His first playoff game with the Tennessee.
He might. I mean, there's a good. And I
don't
honestly,
say good I, chance, but
I don't,
a chance.
No, a chance.
Yeah.
But I don't see that with any others. Like, this is the best place he could go.
I think so. Yeah, I'd agree with that. The only I was thinking New Orleans would be a good landing spot for him, too, if the Bridgewater thing happened, just because, I mean, you know, Breeze isn't going to play forever, and if they brought him in, maybe he'd get some play. But
that's true.
Whatever. I mean, this is for him ideal, and it works for us. I mean, basically, the fourth-round pick they get is like a – it's almost like a – the compensation you get for losing the free agents, right? So right. It's almost like they got a, you know, they lost him in free agency essentially, although really they paid him.
They traded him. Then so they paid him. It's a little bit last week, well, every week, you know, I talk about how it's a copycat league and how everybody's, you know, and I'm worrying about everybody following on the Kansas City Mahomes thing, but this is kind of a little bit baby Browns move, kind of the way the Browns sold, you know, bought us. Took Osweiler for picks and cap space, like the way they, when they traded for him, just to acquire picks, they did it on a bigger scale and a bigger, you know.
How far have we fallen to where we're like, man, I hope we're doing things the way the Browns do it.
Well, I'm not even, yeah. Well, I mean, right now, what team would you rather have?
Oh, the Dolphins.
No, I mean personnel.
Oh, no, I know. Personnel?
Yeah, like if
yeah.
You could just...
Oh, for sure. They have better players in Cleveland right now. But it took them a very, very long time to achieve that.
Of course. Yeah, I mean,
and I'm happy for them. I hope they're good next year.
I mean, I'm not happy for them, but, you know,
sure
I'll watch.
Whatever.
I'll see what happens.
I don't know.
I hope they win the division at 9-7.
It is, you know, it's kind of a weak division.
You're right. 8-8.
Yeah, there we go. That sounds better. Yeah, so Tannehill's gone. The other big news that happened since the last time we spoke was...
Double the magic!
Yes. So one of the quarterbacks that a lot of us had been pining for, a lot of the emails that we've been receiving and a lot of the chatter that we had here was... that I mean, of the bridge quarterbacks that are left, I felt like Fitzpatrick was the one I wanted them to sign more than anybody else.
And we said this last week. It's... If we thought we had a shot at the Super Bowl, I would not be thrilled with Ryan Fitzpatrick as our starting quarterback. As a not quite tanking, but as a year without a lot expected, putting in a new system and acquiring talent.
You could do a hell of a
talent.
Lot worse. We've seen worse quarterbacks than Ryan Fitzpatrick
but he's
here.
Fun. That's I just yeah. want fun. We even said that last year, like even with Josh Allen, with all his terrible throws, at least when he drops back. You're excited. Something might happen.
Yeah.
Something terrible probably will happen, but something good will happen. We didn't have that with Tannehill last year.
No.
He dropped back, and it was something, you know, like the first couple, you know, first quarter of the season, we had a couple of those big plays. But after that, it was like, it was almost like, it was dreadful. Nothing good was ever going to happen.
No. So we have Ryan Fitzpatrick is a competent NFL quarterback. He makes some exciting, great plays. He makes some terrible plays. His QBR was, I think, double Ryan Tannehill's QBR last year. So,
well, I mean, there was a 6 week stretch there where he was,
he was
the best quarterback in the NFL,
which is crazy
by stats wise.
Yeah. Like, it is crazy to think about, and he'll be fun and he's a good locker room guy.
Got a beard.
Yep. Oh,
we got beards.
A mighty, mighty beard.
He's got beard. We got beard.
Yeah. No, I'm a Fitzpatrick fan. This will be good. I'm still hoping they draft one of the quarterbacks. I hope one of them falls to them at 13. We'll talk more about that as we get further along. But I think I like the Fitzpatrick move. I think, you know, for what was out there, I think he was the one I was hoping they would sign. He's honestly the only one that was available that I would rather have than Colin Kaepernick, I would say.
Yeah, probably.
Because other than that, I was like, just bring Kaepernick in at this point.
Yeah, again, exciting. You know, do something with his legs. I mean, who knows? He hasn't played in so long. Who knows?
Right.
At this point, it's probably right that he's, you know, not going to be a very good quarterback just because of the rust and the age. But yeah, I agree with that.
Has it been 2 years that he's been out of the league or just one? I think two, right? Yeah, it's been two that he's out. Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, but outside of Fitzpatrick, then, I mean, if they wouldn't have gotten him, I would have been fine with Kaepernick. But I like the Fitzpatrick signing for what was available.
Absolutely.
And I actually think he's a tiny upgrade over Ryan Tannehill. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think this... I'm not saying this team is going to be better than 7-9, but I do think he's a better quarterback than both Ryan Tannehill and Brock Osweiler, which is what we had at quarterback last year. And Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
He's better than the last three quarterbacks we've had. He's not Matt Moore.
He's no Matt Moore. I will say, I mean, it's probably one of those things that's impossible to quantify because Tannehill, you know, like, because he's got the better ceiling and he's got the lower floor. I mean, it's kind of, well, maybe the same. Osweiler probably has a similar floor.
Yeah.
But again, I just want exciting. I just want to be able to see something exciting once
yes.
in a while.
Cutler was not exciting.
And, you know, he could throw. Let's see. Maybe Jizicki gets into the, you know, maybe they start using him, you know, a la the way O.J. Howard kind of got, it was used by Fitzpatrick. Maybe, you know, let's.
Oh, you're talking about Jizicki?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What did I call him?
I don't think you said his name. You just said maybe they'll use him like some. Oh. Yeah, like no, like we were going to know who
I
him was.
I called him like Jizicki.
Maybe you did. I might have spaced out.
Who knows?
But. Yeah,
but and again, you're so Parker. Let's you know if Parker's going to be worth a damn, you need a guy who's going to throw him the ball.
You know who I think? I think Stills actually benefits Stills, from this because he throws a really good deep ball.
Yeah,
which is one of the good things that he does. So
and Stills is a good outside wide receiver.
He runs great deep routes. He just you know, and when Tannehill actually took those shots, it seemed like they paid off. When Moore took them, they paid off a lot as well. So anyway. We could be in a lot worse shape. We're in a much better position at quarterback than we were last week. So we're happy about that. The other thing that's the other wheels that are in motion right now involve Robert Quinn, who stayed on the roster. They did pay him that $1 million that he was due. We waxed hypothetical last week about them actually wanting to keep him and him maybe being part of the future plan. What they're essentially trying to do is the same thing they did with Tannehill, is they're trying to sell him off to get another 2020 draft pick.
And they'll pay part of his salary to
yep.
do it.
Yeah, which is, I think that's smart. I think it's better than just cutting the guy and saving the cap space, because they have a decent amount of cap space now with the moves that they've made. So they don't, I mean, there is no dead cap money when you cut Quinn right now, except the $1 million you paid him, which is like nothing. But they'd save $12 million, I believe, by cutting him. But I think getting a draft pick is worth it.
Getting the draft pick. The cap space this year doesn't matter, really. They're not looking to go out. The only thing they're going to use cap space for is locking up young guys like Howard or whatever.
I was reading some, yeah, and that's great because they do need to lock up Howard and they need to, you know, hopefully we'll see, you know, some growth from some of the other young players. But Howard's the one that screams that needs to be locked up, and Tunsil as well.
Don't let him hit free agency, that's for sure.
No, those are the two young guys.
No, I'm saying if James can get that contract, don't let a left tackle who's better than Juwan yeah. James hit free agency.
Exactly. So so that's good. I was reading something that with the Dolphins as they stand right now, like with all the dead money that's going to come off and all these guys that are gone, their cap space next year is going to be like $122 million.
Isn't the cap like 130
something? It's ridiculous. it's ridiculous how low if they get rid of. Well, Quinn's not even on the books for next year anyway. This is like he's only got 1 year left on his deal, so he will be gone. I guess there's two teams. There's the Cowboys. He was visiting with this week, and the Saints have shown interest in him as well. I think he's a good fit on both of those teams. They both run 4-3s. You know, they both have other really you know high motor. Pressure guys on the other side.
And they both have draft picks they could send back to us.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're both in win-now mode. So so the moves make sense for them, especially if they're getting Robert Quinn at a bargain. The guy's young still. I think he's only 28 years old.
He's a good player.
And he was good. Yeah, I mean, he was good. So you put him on the other side of, is it DeMarcus Lawrence in Dallas? And then Cameron Jordan in New Orleans. You put him on the other side of either one of those guys, and he'll be... I think he'll be productive and he'll help those teams, you know, do the things that they need out of that type of player. So hopefully he gets moved in the next couple days. We get a draft pick for 2020 is what they're looking for. From what I understand, the asking price is a fourth rounder. I think that makes sense. So we're going to have a lot of fourth round 2020 draft picks. What do you think they're going to do with those?
So you want to jump into that? So I said last week that none of the big three quarterbacks are falling to them at 13. I believe that even more now this week.
Do you really?
I do. But we'll get into that later.
Okay.
So the accumulation of picks, I believe, I mean, it could be to accumulate more talent, but I think it's ammunition to move up. Now they're 2020 picks. Are they ammunition to move up next year to make sure they're in position to get one of
the quarterbacks that they want
next year? That's almost bigger possibility to me now than it was last week. Same thing. I think they might stand pat at 13 this year. If one of them falls, fine, but they're not going to expect it, and they'll take best player available, accumulate talent, and then having a couple extra picks next year, maybe even a couple more trades, more next year picks, then make the move for Tua or whoever.
Yeah. Because, I mean, as it stands right now, if they do get a fourth-rounder for Quinn, which we think they probably will, that'll be... 3 fourth-rounders next year that they have, as well as the compensatory picks that they're going to get for the free agents that they lost this year. So those will be most likely third or fourth-rounders as well to go along with the third-rounder that
James
they already
will
have.
Be a third, and
they're going to get
a fourth or fifth for one of the others.
Yeah, so two picks in the third. They've already got three or two in the fourth right now, probably going to have at least three, maybe four picks in the fourth round next year.
But I mean, that doesn't sound like those aren't the kind of picks that get you into the top five. So
no, but they help you move up.
Yeah, they help you move up, but they help you move up from, you know, from your late second to the you know, mid second. I don't know. And it depends. I mean, they might have a top 10 pick next year.
That was
year
another
anyway.
Thing I was reading though about this team under Greer, especially, is they've hit on a lot of those fourth and fifth round picks, like Rashad Jones, Jay Ajayi. There's other ones that I'm not that are escaping me right now, but they've hit on quite
true.
A few of those actually. So they're not, the Dolphins have actually done better in those rounds than they have in like the second and third rounds. So, which is infuriating, but you know, I mean, it seems like they know what they're doing. I believe they have a plan.
We're giving them benefits and doubts. No, just the benefits of the doubts.
There we go. Yeah. So
we're not doubting.
They signed an offensive lineman, Chris Reed, played for Jacksonville last season. He might have been on another team before that. He's like a rotational backup offensive lineman. He plays guard and center. Read some pretty good things about him. He seems to rate decently. He started 8 games in the past 2 seasons.
That's a lot for a Dolphins lineman.
Well, yeah, he could be. I mean, he could be your starting offensive center. He could be one of the starting guards. The line that they have now under contract, he's definitely one of the starters. So this is a guy that could play for you. Could be somebody that gets plugged in to the lineup to play.
All right, you want to know how good Chris Reed is?
No.
He's the second result on Google.
Oh, cool.
The first result is Chris Reed, a Japanese ice dancer.
What?
He's a figure skater.
But, that's more popular?
Yes, but Wikipedia says he's a Japanese ice dancer. With his sister, Kathy Reed, he became a 7-time Japanese national champion.
Well, that's nothing to sneeze at, Rob. Our Chris Reed just hasn't had the opportunity yet. Our Chris Reed was going to be a shot putter in the Olympics. I read that.
And he's a wonderful ice dancer.
That would be something, wouldn't it? I don't think they want nimble guys, though. They want those maulers. They want those maulers up front. They don't want the guys that can get out and pull. They want the ones that can go straight ahead.
I like the nimble guys in Madden, anyway.
In Madden, it's great. But, yeah, I don't know. So, no other big moves in free agency, and I don't imagine that there are going to be any big moves in free agency for this team. I would like to see them sign a couple more pieces on the offensive line.
A couple more tight ends.
I think we're good on tight ends. Unless they're planning on converting them to offensive linemen, which maybe they are. I doubt it.
Not if they don't want the nimble ones.
Very true. Very true. So I'm thinking, at least with the moves that have been made, it is very clear that they're not... I don't think they're tanking. Like, this is, again, last year. Like, again, going into last year, like in the moves that the team made, you know, the bringing in of Danny Amendola,
win now mode. That's, we think we have a shot at the playoffs.
Win now mode, well, but they were still getting a lot of the same press that they're getting right now, and like how awful they're going to be. Like, they're still like 31, 32 in the power rankings, which is where they're at right now. I don't think that this team is necessarily that much worse than last year.
Like I do not. I agree with you. I thought we both thought it was ridiculous.
Like you might actually be better at quarterback right now.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, I mean, and you didn't really lose. I mean, Juwan James is a pretty big loss on the offensive line, but he's not irreplaceable. That's not why this team sucks.
No, but he was your second best lineman. And that doesn't matter how good he was the second best one.
Sure, that's...
And the fact that he wasn't amazing...
He's not irreplaceable, is what I'm saying. It's not like you're not losing, like, a transcendent talent there. Like,
Matt Moore.
Exactly. That is somebody that you can replace. Losing Cameron Wake hurts, but I do feel like I feel like they're going to make moves in the draft. They're going to draft guys that are going to be pass rushers, and this is a good draft for that. I think the coaches they're bringing in might be, they might actually have a better defensive scheme, so maybe they'll be better on defense, and they might actually be a little better on offense. So, like, I'm not like going crazy and being like, oh, they're going to win 10 games to make the playoffs. But I mean, everybody last year was saying this was a 3-13 team and they went 7-9. I don't really want us to go 7-9 this year.
Preseason last year, we did not. And I'm sure most of our listeners didn't believe that the way the national media was talking. We knew the team. We're like, this is a better team than we had last year. And the quarterback play was terrible. If Tannehill can be okay. And the team,
And we won one more game than we did the previous year.
And that team, there were so many things went wrong. Like,
for this
there were
team.
So many games. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't have melted. I mean, that was some weird. There's a weird alternate universe out there where that team won 10 games and lost in the playoffs.
Sure.
I mean, there's no alternate universe where they didn't lose in the playoffs or.
Alternate universe where they won the Super Bowl.
No, there isn't.
Yeah.
Not even in the infinite verse. We need one more for that. But.
How many outcomes did you see? 14,700,413. How many did we win? None.
Anyway. All right. Thank you, Mr. Strange.
Yeah. Mr. Doctor?
I know you're a doctor.
Mr. Doctor?
Oh, we're using our made-up name?
Basically, all I'm saying is I don't think this team's going to be nearly as bad as like the media is making it out to be. They'll be competing. They'll be entertaining. They'll arguably be more entertaining this year than they were last year to watch, I would say. I think Kenyon Drake's going to actually get to play. You'll have a quarterback who's going to be firing the ball all over the field.
And, I mean, right now, I mean, I'm...
You'll have a competent defense.
You have to see the draft. You have to see what happens. And, you have to actually see what happens in the preseason and how the team shakes out and the roster looks like. But... If this is a 6-7 win team again, I'm not surprised.
And just wait till Drew Locke gets in there and starts lighting it up. That's going to be amazing.
It wouldn't be bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are at break time. I need another drink.
Oh, I'm going to get one.
All right. We will be right back. And we're going to talk about the NFL draft when that happens. Stay tuned.
That sounded good.
And we're back.
What?
We're back.
We are back.
Where did we leave off?
We left off.
We're going to talk about the draft.
Dolphins.
That's right. All right. So the draft. Before we get to the draft, I did want to mention a small signing that happened today that you brought up right before we went on was Mike Hull re-signed.
Yes.
So I was happy to see that. Core special teams guy. It has seemed to play well every time he's gotten when he's been pressed into duty. So I'm glad he's back. Glad they kept him. I think I made a small reference to him last week when they said they didn't tender him. So I'm glad that they brought him back. Still no mention of Leonte Carew, who might come back, but I don't really see a place for him on this team. So I don't know. I'll be fine without Leonte coming back.
Maybe he goes to Nashville and he ends up playing in the playoffs with Ryan Tannehill throwing up a big old duck that Carew can steal from the DB and run in for a touchdown.
That was one of the best plays of the whole season.
I probably would go with some of them.
I said one of.
Okay, yeah.
The
Grant Wilson high fives.
Yeah,
no.
Those were the best plays. Yeah. But yeah, that the Carew play was nice.
That thing was so ugly. That throw was awful.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, it worked.
It worked. Awful. It worked. Yeah. So that was. Oh, that was another thing I was actually going to say. Did Rashard Matthews? Does he still play for Tennessee? Or did he get cut? They did get rid of him, and he went to the Jets. That's right.
Did he go to the Jets?
I don't know. I don't know where he ended up. But I was going to say that'd be interesting because Tannehill loved him. Like they actually, those were, that was some of Tannehill's best work was actually working with Rishard Matthews, and Rishard Matthews had his best, the best seasons of his career with Tannehill. So anyway, yeah. So the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins are picking 13th. We've talked about this quite a few times.
He is on the Jets.
He is. Oh, cool. So Gase got rid of him in Miami. I wonder if he will get rid of him in New York as well, although he's probably like the best wide receiver the Jets have.
Anyway. No, he is not. I like Rishard Matthews, but he's not their best wide receiver.
He's not better than Robbie Anderson
or Quincy
Enunwa. That's, yeah, all right. Fair. I don't want to argue about the Jets' terrible wide receivers. Let's talk about the draft.
Draft!
So, interesting things happening.
What happened?
Just like the visits that have been going down.
Oh, visits.
There seems to be the latest smoke screens that we're hearing are that the Giants are not interested in Haskins, which I to me means they're absolutely 100%
not interested. They took him to dinner. Yeah. I mean, they're not interested.
Yeah, so. But they, yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I saw a mock draft where he fell to 13, and I was like, that will never, ever happen.
All right. First, let's get this out of the way. Are the Cardinals drafting Murray? What, like, gun to your head? Obviously, we have no idea. What do you think?
I say no until they trade Rosen. I can't see it. Like, I can't see them drafting him and keeping Rosen. Like, that just,
yeah, but you can trade Rosen after.
I guess, but I mean, but by doing that, you're running the risk of like having both of them on the team.
So what?
That is, you have two quarterbacks back to back that you drafted in the top 10 that you. One that you traded up for.
It's not the first time that this has happened, that teams have...
I guess it's not unheard of. I don't know. Gun to my head, do they draft him number one? No, I think this is a smokescreen, unless they trade Rosen. And obviously, if they trade Rosen, then yes, they're drafting Murray. So,
well, if they stay... So here's the question.
I don't think they draft Murray unless they trade Rosen.
But they don't stay in the number one, then. Enough people will want Murray that they're trading the number one spot. I guess it depends how far they go back. I mean, do they love Bosa or somebody that much that they stay at number one when they can probably get a king's ransom for Murray?
Here is the thing, and this is what I've been saying the whole time, is like there aren't that many QB needy teams. So like I don't see anybody selling the farm to get up to number one to get Kyler Murray. The Dolphins aren't going to do it. The Giants aren't going to do it. And I don't, who else, the only, I can't think of any team that would do it. The Broncos aren't going to do it. The Redskins might do it. But I don't think anyone else is moving up to number one.
All right. So
those are the teams that need a quarterback. None of the other ones need a quarterback.
Don't forget. You're forgetting. Just last year.
The Raiders, maybe. Maybe the Raiders.
The Raiders are maybe. You know who's one who's a huge piece here we're not talking about? The Lions. Stafford is only he's on the books for big bucks, but just for like one or two more years, they can get out of that Stafford deal. That's a team. Stafford's not taking you to the promised land. There's no reason to pay Stafford giant money. That's a team. If they think he's the guy, that could do it.
They're in like win now mode right now. Like they think they think they can compete with what they have.
I'm just saying, and no one thought. When no one thought the Bears were going to... They just signed Mike Glennon, as terrible as he is, so nobody thought they were going to trade up and take a quarterback, and they did it.
That's different.
I'm just saying...
That's different. Glennon is not the same as Stafford or as even Flacco. Like, it's not the same.
But even... Okay, but going back to your Cardinals thing. Last year, they signed... what's his name?
Sam Bradford. Right.
And then traded up for Rosen.
Okay. Traded to 10, not to number one.
Traded up. But, yes, okay, 10 to 1, but they're already at 1. I mean...
Well, yeah, now they're at 1.
So I'm saying for them, it's not crazy for them to take. It's not crazy...
None of it's crazy. I just don't see... You traded capital. You gave things up to get Josh Rosen. Unless you get rid of him to get something back to recoup some of that, it doesn't make sense to just take another quarterback.
It just takes one team. That's the other thing.
That's what I'm saying. In years past, it seemed like everybody needed a quarterback forever, and now it doesn't seem like nearly as many teams need a quarterback.
But right there's teams now. That would like a, okay, but Broncos and Bengals. They especially, have a quarterback, but they could they need a they both need quarterbacks of the future.
Those are also teams that love defense and they love speed rushers, and this draft is full of them.
You have there's Washington, which we talked about. You never
although
know
Denver
what
Denver's
do.
pretty set with their rushing with their pass rush, so they would that maybe Denver takes a quarterback. I mean, they've been visiting with all the quarterbacks. So
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but they never trade up. They're not a team that like that. They're not moving up to number one.
Not to number. Well, but they might move ahead of 13.
Maybe. Although, still, even that, I don't. They don't do that. That's not in their thing. That's not.
I know
in their,
that's not in their thing.
In their code.
But if you look at the past few years, quarterbacks don't drop. The good quarterbacks don't get past 10. It's just people will move up to get them.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying there's not a lot of teams that are going to do that.
I'm saying the top three guys all go 8 or above.
Go in the top 8?
Yes.
All right. Well,
would you bet me on that?
I would. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. So yeah, I would take that bet.
That's how bets work.
Right. I know. I just had to think it through. Hold on. Sorry, I've been drinking since before we did the podcast. But yeah, no, I think I don't think that happens. I find that it just given the landscape of the current landscape of the NFL and the quarterback position, I just don't see that happening, especially in this draft where there appears to be a wealth of talent in a premium spot. There seems to be a lot of pass rushers in this draft, and teams need pass rushers.
I think they need quarterbacks too.
That's what I'm saying. They don't. There's not a lot of teams that need quarterbacks
there
right
are,
now.
There are, though.
There really aren't. There's us. There's the Giants. Nobody else needs a quarterback. Like, those are the two teams. We need a quarterback.
Fitzpatrick is better than Flacco. The Broncos need a quarterback as much as we do.
I don't think Fitzpatrick is better than Flacco. I don't. I mean, I would rather have Fitzpatrick. Well, actually, now that I'm saying it out loud. Yeah. Hold on. All right. Yeah, I mean...
Great.
So you think the Broncos are going to draft a quarterback?
I do.
At 10?
I think they're asking about the price of moving up. I'm not saying that they... the price...
You might be right. I could see that. But
that's what I'm saying. So all the teams I mentioned, they're all asking. They're not selling the farm, but they're asking what it costs to get up there, and it just takes one. And I'm not even saying one. I'm not saying that they're all for Murray. The Raiders, I could see going all for Murray because they're the Raiders. But so not everybody. I'm not saying all for Murray, but I'm saying getting ahead of the Dolphins at 13 and us not getting one of those three.
The mock draft I saw with the Dolphins getting Haskins at 13.
Yeah, that's
had the Raiders getting Drew Lock with the 24th pick. I was like, yeah.
Now I just saw a mock today that had the
and that was like a legit one. Like that was like NFL.com. It was like Bucky Brooks or something.
I saw one today, and honestly, I didn't even see it. I just saw the headline in like a Google search that the Giants take Drew Lock with their second pick with their Browns pick.
I saw that one as well.
And if they like Drew Lock, well, yeah, then you get the pass rusher, whoever the hell they would take it at 5 or 3 or wherever they are. And
they're at 7, actually, the Giants.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Actually, it's right open. They're at 6. We're both idiots.
They're at 6?
Yep.
The Jaguars are 7. That's right.
Yeah, I know. I'm reading it.
Right. Okay.
With my eyes.
Either way, I don't want to say I'm confident that one of them is going to fall to the Dolphins at 13. But I do feel like there's going to be a quarterback that's one of the top three that will.
Here's another team I forgot to mention. The Bucs.
Yeah, they're not drafting a quarterback.
Maybe, but this guy they have now, they benched for Ryan Fitzpatrick last year.
I know, but this is a totally different regime that's in there now.
And I don't know if they love him either.
I think they do.
I don't know. I'm saying I don't know. It's possible. Without even moving, they might get one of these guys.
No, they don't have to move to get one, but they have so many other holes on this team. like that team is, that team is.
Would you want to? I know the answer to this.
I'm glad I'm not a Bucks fan.
Would you want to trade for Jameis then?
Oh no.
Jameis or Rosen?
Can you see them trading for Jameis and having Jameis and Fitzpatrick on the same team again?
Jameis or Rosen? The known of Jameis or the unknown of Rosen?
Oof, man. I guess Jameis.
In a vacuum, probably I go Rosen. Because
I've seen him do good things.
I go Rosen because of, one, the unknown. Two, the contract.
I guess, Rosen's, yeah. Are you starting? What's the thing? Are you starting from scratch?
Well, the question was in a vacuum, so yeah. You were fine with your answer. But in reality, now Jameis is going to be a, you know, he's
gonna, more expensive.
And I think this is the last, this is his fifth year, right? His fifth year option now, or is it next
I think
year?
They've redone his contract. I think he's got the, yeah. Well, whatever. It doesn't, I don't want Jameis Winston or Josh Rosen, really.
No, I don't want it.
The answer, the correct answer is C. Now, none of the above.
It's also the asking price, right? If I have Fitzpatrick, if I can get Josh Rosen for a third or fourth, I would totally do it, see what I have, and then I still have a chance of trading up for one of the guys, for one of right. the big guys next year. I'm not opposed to that.
All right. So I don't think the Dolphins are moving. Like, I don't think that I know you had mentioned it that they're loading up on these picks maybe to package to move up in this draft. I don't see that.
Well, they're 20. It looks like they're also stocking up on 2020. So right. they may be, you know, they may see how this year goes. They may trade more guys right. for draft picks next year, especially, you know, the NFL has, they're a little more open to trading guys during the year now at like the trade deadline.
No, but yeah, way more than in years past. So I think, I mean, I just, you know, what I'm thinking is I don't think they're moving up in this draft. I think they're staying at 13. I feel like one of those quarterbacks is going to fall, and I feel like they're going to have a choice to make. It's going to be, you know, Drew Lock, maybe Haskins at 13. One of those two, maybe, you know.
There's no chance in hell Haskins is there.
I agree.
I think if the only one who falls to them, it's the Duke kid.
Jones? Yeah. Oh, I think Jones will be there at 13 no matter what. I feel like one of the top three might drop. So I don't know. We'll see.
I would love for them to have that choice.
Yeah. So here's the question. If one of them falls, if they have one of the top three fall to them at 13, what do? You take him, or you go off, go pass rusher or offensive line?
I take one of those three.
The quarterback, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to have one.
Yeah. So they have had private sessions with Murray. They've had private sessions and meetings with Haskins as well. And then we found out tonight they've also had, you know, they had a private meeting with Drew Lock, and they went out to dinner and all that stuff. So they've met with all three of them.
And they'd be foolish not to.
Right. Yeah. So I think, I don't know. I would like them to get one of them, obviously.
I don't remember if we mentioned this last. Did we mention it last week? They did send Matt Moore to watch Kyler Murray in this pro day.
They did. They sure did. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Game,
I mean,
game recognized game.
Yeah, I think they're actually, I mean, I just from where they're picking and the way that this draft is, like, I do think that they're going to get a player that is, you know, going to be impactful. I think it's either going to be a quarterback or a pass rusher for this team. I think those are.
But we're agreed. We want them to stand pat at 13, unless I could steal something. But that's nobody's giving away a top 10
pick.
Oh,
they're not moving up. I don't see them moving up.
We want them to stay pat at 13. If Murray, Haskins or Locke are there, we want them to take them.
If they absolutely love Drew Locke as much as I do, like, I wouldn't be opposed to them, because they wouldn't have to put too much together to get ahead of the Broncos at 10. Like, I think they could get from 13 to 9 probably wouldn't cost them that much. You know, it might cost them 13, a pick in this draft, and then maybe one of those fourth rounders.
That's fun. 9 is the Bills. Do they want, would they want
I'm sure they would take the draft capital.
They might.
Because they don't need a quarterback.
True, but they would.
And they'll know that the Dolphins are taking a quarterback, so they know that the guy that they want is not getting taken there. And they know
that
the Broncos.
And they also call the Broncos and be like, yeah, the Dolphins, this is what the Dolphins are offering us to get Drew Lock.
Right.
I'd rather you have Drew Lock.
Right. Yeah. True. Yeah. So that could happen. Anyway, either way. We'll see. I mean, we have a lot. We're going to be talking about this quite a few times up until the draft actually happens. But
is the draft tonight?
Unfortunately not.
Tomorrow?
No. Do you want to pull up the countdown? I think we did that before.
It's April 25th. I had it on.
That's actually a lot closer than it was last week.
How much closer? It's like 2 weeks closer than it was last week.
The other things about this draft that I really like are the fact that there are a lot of pass rushers. I think there are, you know, there's actually so many like highly rated pass rushers that I think they actually have a chance to get a really good player in the second round. So I think if things go their way, they could get, you know, a potential quarterback of the future, a solid pass rusher in the second round, and then like a decent offensive lineman in round three.
I will say it's not a quarterback of the future, a potential quarterback of the future. It is a quarterback of the future. He just potentially is a good one.
Right. You know what I mean.
I know.
A potential franchise quarterback. I just hate using that word, franchise quarterback. It drives me nuts.
Because they're all franchise quarterbacks if they're your franchise quarterback.
If you are the starting quarterback for that franchise, you are the franchise quarterback. Exactly. I don't know. It's such a dumb buzzword.
Of all the things to hate.
I hate many things.
Let it go, man.
I don't know.
It weighs down on your heart.
Let go of the hate.
Just let it go.
All right. Did you see the new Avengers trailer?
I did.
What do you think?
I mean, it's kind of all the stuff I expected.
No, but it was cool. I mean, it was cool. I'm asking you, cool. I don't mean like, what do you think of the trailer specifically? Oh. I'm asking you like, what do you think happens? Like, what do you think what do you think's going on?
So
you think their fancy suits are to go into the quantum realm?
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't think about it.
Oh, that's really fun, Rob.
Well, I know it's not fun.
What would you like to talk about?
It's not fun for the podcast, but I find that especially on like big silly movies, on the superhero movies, which I love, I want to just go in and be entertained. I don't want to figure it out. I don't want to know what's happening. I just want to go in cold and it's cold. I mean, I watch the trailers, but I don't read any of the fan theories. I don't want to know any of that crap. I just want to go and have a good time.
Okay.
But, yeah, so...
So you have no theory, then?
Well, yeah, we win. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're going to win.
At what cost, though, Rob?
Who cares?
I care. I mean, yeah, it's going to
I care. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be excited. I didn't even watch Captain Marvel.
I was going to say, have you seen Captain Marvel yet?
I have not.
Oh, man. It's pretty good. I liked it. I mean, feel like all Marvel movies are basically, like, they're good.
Yeah, like they are good.
This was good. Some of them are better than others.
I rewatched Spider-Man Homecoming because it was on one of the free things.
That was one of the very good ones.
That was really good.
I like that one a lot.
I enjoyed it.
That one's, and it's also very rewatchable, which is nice.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the next one. I think it'll be good. Those are cool. No, Captain Marvel was good. I liked it.
I want to see it. I need to see it before Endgame, obviously.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch her punch Thanos in the face. It'll be cool. See what happens. Although it was interesting that he was noticeably absent from the trailer. He wasn't in the trailer at all.
Was he not? I thought I saw
not once
walking around or doing something.
Nope. Didn't
strolling. Oh, having a daiquiri? We wasn't having a daiquiri?
No, he wasn't.
That
he
wasn't him?
Wasn't there at all. Yeah. So
and it was the stone. What was those? The Easter Island guys.
Nope. They just showed all the heroes for the most part, all the surviving heroes. Yeah. Crazy stuff, man.
So they just go on and show Ant-Man without even like telling us how he gets out of there.
Right. Well, you just assume that he gets out of there.
Well,
obviously.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but...
He was in the last preview. He was in the last trailer as well. So yeah, they'd already established that he got out.
But even, I'm talking about even then. I'm like, come on.
Do you think he travels back in time using the quantum realm? Because of the time vortexes in there?
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe cool. He gets really small and he goes inside Thanos' nostrils and
this is really
comes out of his hands.
Really fun talking to you about this.
What the hell do I know what he's going
to
do?
All right, let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Is it that time already?
Yeah, we're going to take a break and we're going to finish up. I
want to talk about the Stone Man and his magic glove.
What? I don't even know what that means.
They know. He looks like he's a rock.
Oh, he does. He did kind of look like he was like looks one like of the Easter Island heads.
You got it now. Yeah, all right, we're brought up to speed.
All right. We'll be back. And we're back. So, minor NFL news that's happened since the last time we spoke.
Trevor Siemian to the New York Jets.
That's fantastic. That's not the one I was going to lead with.
Is it? It's not more minorer than that.
That is the most minorest thing that I can think of outside of Chris Reed, right? Who we talked about already, who signed with the Dolphins.
Well, that's less minor because this is a Dolphins podcast.
Sure, but Trevor Siemian is a quarterback, which is a more high-profile position.
Yeah, but he's not a good one, and he went to the Jets.
That's true, which is great for us, I guess. That doesn't matter. On a kind of a side note, are you happy to see them winning the free agency thing? Like, everybody's like, oh, the Jets did great.
I'm happy.
That always makes me feel good because that means that's not really going to be good.
I'm happy that they have spent more than they should for players. Wow. They got decent players, but they paid a huge premium to get them. So
yeah. I mean, honestly, I feel like the Bell contract was actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's the Mosley thing that was awful. That's just awful.
And they were still going to sign Barr. Imagine if Barr had signed.
Well, Barr's a good...
He's a great player, but I'm just saying, if we're talking about, like, you know, like... exorbitant contracts. But yeah, I mean, Mosley's a good player, too. Mosley's a great player. But I feel like a lot of those Raven linebackers, when they go other places, don't necessarily play as well as... they had before. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see with the Jets. I don't think they're taking the Patriots down this year.
It's going to be a race to number three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know the Bills are the second best team in this division next year.
What was the other one that I liked that I thought was a decent
move?
What was
the actual minor thing
I was
gonna
say,
going to say?
Jared Cook to the Saints.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is, I think that's a really good fit. He's a good player, and on that offense,
huge,
makes a lot of sense.
Know, fantasy, good to know for fantasy, because he was a monster.
On a terrible Raiders team.
Well, because when they got rid of Cooper, they literally had nobody to throw to, and he became a monster.
The corpse
there.
Of Jordy Nelson.
Who's not on the Raiders anymore.
Yep, that's right. So, Cook, I think he's a good addition, solid addition to that Saints team. They obviously know how to use the tight end in that offense, so... gives Breeze another weapon. They're definitely loading up for one more year, one more run at this. I was thinking about this the other day too, like the signing Murray and getting rid of Ingram. I think Murray might actually be in that offense. I think Murray might be a tiny upgrade. Actually, he's faster for sure.
Contract wise, I don't know what's the difference in the contracts that like that
they were pretty similar.
Pretty similar.
Yeah,
I think Ingram's a better player, but I think. But,
I mean, maybe he's just a product of that offense.
Could be, but he was decent somewhere else before he got there, wasn't he?
Ingram has only played for the Saints.
He's only been there.
Yeah, and honestly, it took him a while to pan out. I mean, he's been good, like he's been solid. I'm not saying there's anything. I actually thought.
I mean,
like,
if Kamara
him going to Baltimore is actually a pretty good fit as well.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be a monster there.
So. Yeah. The other thing, other move, Clay Matthews going to the Rams.
Yep,
you weren't as excited about that one?
More excited to me.
But I thought it was a good move for them.
I think he's kind of on the...
Oh, he's definitely over the hill. But he's also the kind of guy, like, it reminds me, and not just because he's a white outside linebacker with long blonde hair, kind of reminds me of Kevin Green a little bit.
Oh, the white outside linebacker with long hair that played for the Rams?
Yep. Going into it, but he's also like was excellent in 3-4 defenses, which right. Matthews is as well. So pass rushing, outside linebacker. I think he's going to play on the other side of Fowler, who's a decent pass rusher as well. You have Aaron Donald.
The Rams are going to regress next year. I don't know if they're going to.
They were 13-3. I mean, they went to the Super Bowl and lost. I mean, I don't think they're going to regress much. Although Gurley's a big question mark, actually.
That's what I mean. And the offense was like the second half. That offense was nothing like it was in the first half.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I don't know if it's, you know, how much of it is. I mean, I can't imagine Cooper Kupp was that important, but I don't know how much of it is people figuring
tape.
Them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting because if that offense is like the second half offense, you know, you got Seattle's still. Seattle, you got the 49ers are making, you know, they're loading up, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, the Cardinals
they'll be healthy.
Will be the Cardinals, but
the Cardinals are going to be terrible. But yeah, well, the division's tough. I mean, the NFC's tough. I mean, the Saints are good.
That's a decent division too.
The Eagles are going to be, I think the Eagles are going to be back next year. The Bears are
could be a decent team. Packers might be reloaded. They've made some good moves in free agency as well. So
yeah, Vikings still should be okay.
Vikings team. Should be better than they were. Yeah, they were disappointing last year. Cowboys, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's Giants, Redskins.
The Giants are terrible.
And the
Redskins are bad. Oh, you're talking about bad teams.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
the
fine.
Bucks, the Bucks, yeah.
But the Bucks are a bad team, but they're a bad team that can win, like that can beat anybody. I don't know.
I'm shaking my head. Not next year. No, they're going to be real bad.
Why are they much worse next year than they were last year?
So I like the coaching hire that the Bucks made. I think that'll be good. But they lost Adam Humphries, who's a key part of that offense, but not irreplaceable. So I guess maybe not that big a deal. They lost their best linebacker.
That's true.
But and they were already last year, well. They were bad, and then they got like, you know, became like one of the worst defenses. Well, they were just bad.
But I'm saying he didn't play a lot last year, so
that's true.
So that's not going to make them worse.
That's true. They were bad when he was
Jackson's
playing too.
Jackson's
so,
gone,
right?
You know,
but Jackson. DeShaun Jackson. But they, you know, they didn't really use him that much. I don't know. You got Jameis Winston. They just didn't. They haven't added anything, and they've lost things, and they were 5-11.
Yeah,
Maybe addition by subtraction.
I think they're the same team as they were last year, which was a team that could beat anybody and lose to anybody.
They're like, spending a lot of money on a really bad offensive line.
I'm not
line.
Saying they're a good team. I'm not putting them in the Giants Cardinals bucket. I think they're the next crap bucket up from that.
Yeah. They're actually picking ahead of the Giants. You realize that, which means they were worse than the Giants last year.
I'm talking about this year, going into this year. That team had a guy named Odell Beckham.
No, but this one has Golden Tate.
Yeah, exactly.
This one has Golden Tate.
And it also had that one. Last year's team had a really old Eli. This team has an older one.
An even older. No, but they're going to have Dwayne Haskins throwing to Golden Tate.
Golden Tate.
To Golden Tate. He's better than Odell Beckham Jr., right? Like he has more catches in his career.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. He does. Actually, he might not. I think he does, but
did you see that article that apparently I don't remember if it was like an Instagram or a Facebook or a tweet Odell put out and then deleted? And
I went to read it and I couldn't find it.
He deleted it.
No, I know, but I know somebody screen capped it. Obviously,
no, but he was not happy with the trade. It sounded like he was not.
Would you be happy to go from Manhattan to Cleveland?
Well. Would I be happy? I mean, the guy's gonna live wherever you want. I mean, this guy. Would I rather play with that Browns team than with Eli? I'd be happier to stay in New York and get rid of Eli. But
I think I think that's where his head's at.
But I thought he wanted out. I guess I thought he wanted out.
Well, he probably loved playing in New York.
Yeah, I guess. No, my feeling
on the,
was
on the
he
real
didn't
New
like
York
the team.
Yeah, like the New York team that matters. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I didn't see the tweet.
I thought he'd be all excited to hang out with his boy Jarvis.
Maybe they don't love each other as much as we think.
Wow.
Maybe it's only a one-way infatuation.
The hot tub's not as warm as it was back in the day.
I don't know. I know Jarvis was happy about it. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Well, he's already in Cleveland. That's like when you're in the pool. You're like, hey, the water's great. Come on in.
You're going to love it here. Oh, man.
We've got a nightclub.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there.
So, wee. You know, traveling around a little bit, I have discovered, like, every city has a cool part.
They have the same, yeah. That's all.
Like, I'll be like, oh, I can't believe I got to go to Chattanooga. I'm like, this is awesome.
You know who's from Cleveland? Trent
Drew
Reznor.
Carey.
Trent Reznor.
Drew Carey.
Trent Reznor's. I thought that would be cooler than Drew Carey.
It's
Drew Carey's
way
not bad.
Cooler.
Yeah.
I don't like Drew Carey.
Oh,
he's
cool.
A terrible replacement for the amazing Bob Barker.
So, did you watch the John Mulaney stand up on Netflix?
The Kid Gorgeous? That's
no,
like
the,
an older one.
The new. I thought was that the one I just watched? Well, I guess it was 2018, so I guess it is a little...
Yeah, they're like pushing
well,
it
just
to the
finally,
front again.
I just
it's
finally
great.
Watched it. It was good. Yeah,
he has
it was really good.
He has that big spot about the college calling him for money. Is
yep.
it that one?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So
and
that's
and the
really
horse in the hospital.
Spot. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's a great... Yeah, I remember that. I watched that like when it first came out. That's
okay.
A good, all right,
so you're cooler than me. But yeah, I just watched it. It was really good.
So I started watching the Ricky Gervais new series on Netflix called Afterlife.
Cool. Haven't seen it.
It's actually pretty good. It's the premise, this is not spoiling anything because it tells you right in the preview, his wife dies, like cancer or whatever, and like he's just depressed as hell, and he's just goes around and just does whatever he wants, insults everybody, and he's the Ricky Gervais jerk
yeah.
that we all know and love.
Yeah.
And that's basically, it's just a vehicle for him to insult people
cool.
in fantastic
so
ways.
One season?
Well, I mean, it just came out. They just dropped the first season.
That's what I'm saying. One, yeah.
I mean, I've only season watched one. A couple episodes.
And then what's it called again?
Afterlife.
Afterlife. All right.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
I also discovered that I will watch anything with Idris Elba in it.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, because there's a terrible new show on Netflix that dropped the first season called Turn Up Charlie.
Oh, that sounds bad.
I saw a little picture, and I'm like, oh, fucking Idris Elba.
Luther was good.
Yes, Luther, Schneider Bell, I'm in. Yeah, he's a nanny. It's not as bad as it sounds, actually. He's like a has-been one-hit wonder.
Was that The Rock? Didn't The Rock? Yeah. Wasn't he in a movie called The Nanny, where he was a nanny? Or no?
You might be thinking of Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah, maybe. And
actually, his was called The Pacifier, I think. But okay. So
yeah, okay.
It's... I am...
The Rock was in The Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, yeah. I'm actually enjoying it, but it's not good.
Okay, so I won't watch that one.
Yeah.
I did watch the Michael Jackson...
Yeah, I can't.
Documentary. Why?
Because I don't want to watch it. I don't want to have to think about all those things.
I will say it really didn't, it did not change my opinion, or like, it didn't really, like, I wasn't like, oh man, yeah, this guy was a child molester. Like, I was like, I kind of already like had accepted that.
Well, yeah, but this one's going to make you believe, this one's not going to make anyone, no one's going to watch this and be like, oh yeah, I could go listen to my Michael Jackson records and not worry about it.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. But what I did like about it, or like what I found interesting, was like, you know, as a parent, like I was always like, you know, like how, like what were the parents of these kids thinking? And like, what this, like, at least what this documentary does is it shows like how
it works.
Well, like what Michael Jackson was like. Like, you know, like we all like assume, we're all like, oh yeah, he was just a big kid. Like, that's like, no, there's actually like video footage of him. Like he would just go to these people's houses, and like, these are like normal people like you and I, like, and Michael Jackson would just show up. Like, and he's like, Hey, Mr. J, what's for dinner? Like, just like come, like hanging out. Like,
sounds like a sitcom.
It was definitely not like a sitcom, but it was like, but like actual footage of him like in these people's houses, like just hanging out, like having dinner. Like he would just call them on their phones, like, you know, leave them messages on their answering machines, just be like, you know, can Jimmy come over and play? Like literally, like he was literally like a 13-year-old, like a child. Like that's where he was, like mentally. Like it was. I don't want to say it makes it better or worse or anything like that, but it was just. Interesting to see, like, to have those things like confirmed.
It makes you understand how it happened.
Yeah,
not letting anyone off the hook or anything.
No, but, totally.
But
yeah, that was the thing. Like,
see how
the parents
how it
were
got
actually
there.
Like, they actually like thought of him as like a person in their family. They were right. Like, oh, it's Michael. Like, you know,
and family members rarely do anything inappropriate.
No, yeah, that's not that. No, definitely not letting the parents off the hook here at all. I'm just saying,
no,
like, it was interesting to like kind of see it. Like, it was just like, and you know,
but
like,
I get it also because a lot of people are like, well, what, these kids, they testified on the stand, he didn't do anything. Then they came out and they said he did. Why? It kind of helps you understand the mindset of where
all of it.
Are
the one, yeah, because it's so it follows two of them, and this was also interesting to see, was like learning about like their little, you know, the pack that they had of like children that were like hanging around Michael Jackson. And Macaulay Culkin is actually not in one of the ones that is actually in the documentary, although they have like footage of him, you know, as a kid, like at Neverland and that kind of stuff. And they talk about him, but he's not, like, he's the only one, I guess, that hasn't flipped now. Like, of the ones that have like defended Michael in the past, like these are the two that had defended him previously. One of them was, I guess, in the Pepsi commercial. Like in the Pepsi commercial in like 1986, the kid in the Pepsi commercial.
The one where he lit his hair on fire?
No, that was, no. The Pepsi commercial, like they show it in the thing, you'd recognize it. The kid's like in the dressing room, like looking for Michael or whatever. Anyway.
That sounds creepy.
But now, But anyway, yeah. So it, one is that kid, and the other one is like another kid who was like a did a Michael Jackson like impersonation, like he would like, you know, come on stage, and like he ended up becoming like a dance choreographer. He was like a choreographer for NSYNC and Britney Spears.
Yes.
Yeah, so he was the other one. So they both, in the original trial in like 94, the first trial against him was like 1994, like both of them testified for him. And then there was the second trial in 2005, and only one of them testified for him. The other one was saying like, no, he wasn't going to do it, but he didn't come out and say anything back then. He just didn't testify for him. And then, you know, the one like at the end or whatever was like, you know, when they were talking about the other guy, the one that did testify for him twice and is now flipping. What I thought was bizarre was that he was like saying, you know, he was actually going after money from his estate. And I was like, oh, like, you don't need it. Like, I was like, he's done well for himself. And I didn't understand why he was going after like reparations. Like, it was like, I didn't think this was about money for you. It was just bizarre. But anyway, it was a good documentary. It was well shot. It was interesting. I mean, I understand why, I guess, you don't want to watch it, but
yeah, I only go to the TV for escapism these days.
Fair enough. It was interesting for sure. Like, and it was well done. Like I said, it didn't really change my opinion on the situation at all.
I will tell you another show I watched, but I didn't finish it, and I'm really, really mad. So this isn't the show. My lady friend, she's big into the Outlander. I don't know if you know about the Outlander, but
I've heard of it.
It's books, and then it's a show on Stars, and it's like, you know, lady goes back in time and then falls in love with a dude back there, and it's like, but it's like it's historical fiction because it goes back to like American Revolution time, or even before that, they're like in England or in the Scottish Wars or whatever.
Yeah,
but it's supposed to be good. I don't care, but every time,
finish.
New season comes out, so she gets the 7-day Stars free trial so she can watch it. So we started watching Counterpoint, the J.K. Simmons series, and it was like really good.
Oh, I heard that was good.
And then it was canceled, and they don't even have the old episodes. I didn't even get to finish season 1.
I'm really sorry, man.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week, ladies and gentlemen.